Hey there, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Bible and Life podcast. My name is John Whitaker. I am the host and creator of the Bible and Life, and grateful for you. Glad we're able to be together on this episode and just reflect on a few final things related to this topic of politics and government and our Christian faith, particularly here in the United States in an election year, but really for all of us, whatever country we're in, to think through what is our relationship to and our responsibility in our cities, our nation, our cities as followers of Jesus. And so I want to just reflect on a handful of things on this final episode in this little series before we begin a new series in the upcoming weeks on the podcast. And so the first little reflection I want to offer for us is this topic of what hill are you going to die on? There's a real temptation when we feel strongly about something, or when we're concerned about things, or when we're deeply agitated by things, to make all the hills equal, as if every hill is a hill to die on. That's just incredibly unwise and impractical. And when it comes to politics and government and our faith, we just need to be careful not to make every single hill a hill to die on. So what hills are you going to die on? And we need to think through what's absolutely essential. If I'm a follower of Jesus, and all of us together are followers of Jesus, what when it comes to our faith and living out our faith in our current cultural context, what's absolutely essential? And then we need to wrestle with, okay, beyond what's essential, what's important? And then we need to wrestle with what's personal. And all those things will have ramifications. Like, things that are personal doesn't mean they're inconsequential. They are consequential. They still matter, but they're more a matter of personal choice, and we have to make those choices wisely. And if we'll take those three categories, essential, important, and personal, it might help us to say, okay, you know what? I am not going to go to battle with you on that. That's a personal choice. I'm more interested in talking with you at the deeper level of something that's essential or something that's important. So for example, the way a person votes, that's kind of personal. It still has ramifications. It's consequential, but it is a personal choice. And maybe it's not worth us fighting over exactly how they vote. Maybe it's more important for us to wrestle with, why do you vote the way you vote? What drives you? What values and virtues? And as followers of Jesus, we need to think that through. We may have people in our congregations who vote differently than us. We may feel very strongly about this candidate. They feel strongly about this candidate. They despise that one, and they vote differently than us. Praise God for that. We can practice some love and unity in diversity in the midst of all of that. But what would be helpful is for us to then, in grace and humility, to listen to one another and to have conversations about, well, why did you vote that way? And why did you vote that way? And let's then think through, how does our faith inform that? And let's have conversations about the deeper things, about what's essential and important within our faith, rather than just specifically who you voted for. I think that might be helpful. Even in culture at large, once you get outside your fellow Christians, having the conversation about key issues and key values humbly and graciously, embodying the spirit of the kingdom, rather than telling people they're wrong for this and they're wrong for that, let's think through the reason for it, the values and the virtues that guide that. And maybe we'll find some overlap, some common ground. I value this, I value that. And when I look at this candidate, I see this, and I don't see this thing I value. And maybe we have some similar values. Let's talk at that level, at the level of values, about things that are important and things that are essential. So that's one thing for us to think about. What hill are we going to die on? What really is important for us to fight for and to push for and to vote for, and what really ought to drive us in those sorts of conversations? Second little reflection I want to offer is, what's the easiest way to lose in an election year? What's the easiest way to lose in an election year? And For us as followers of Jesus, we have very clear instruction that ought to guide us in this. So it seems to me the easiest way to lose in an election year is this: to join in all the insults and the slander. If they slander me, I slander them back. If they say something stupid about the candidate I'm leaning towards, then I'm going to say something stupid about their candidate and them, right? And we join in the mudslinging game of slander and insult. That's the easiest way to lose in the midst of an election year. Turn it into a personal attack. Post memes and reels that are mean-spirited and mocking and derogatory, and just join into the slander. And yet, Jesus and his apostles made it clear, don't return insult for insult, but give a blessing instead. If they curse you, well, you don't curse back. Instead, you bless. This is our way. This is the way of Jesus. And embodying the spirit of Jesus and the kingdom of God is way, way, way more important than winning an election. And so we need to learn that it's not so much about winning an election, because if we win an election, but we act contrary to the way of Jesus, we actually lose in the long run. And that's the easiest way to lose in an election year: to join in all the insults, all the slander, and all the mudslinging. Let's be done with that as followers of Jesus and practice what Jesus taught us about loving those who are different from us, loving those who oppose us, loving our quote-unquote enemies, blessing and cursing not. Let's practice not returning insult for insult or slander for slander, but giving a blessing instead. Also, another reflection is this idea of being militant versus being missionaries. So much of the language I see at times, even coming out of the church and out of specific Christians and specific Christian groups, that the aim seems to be to uses often military rhetoric and military imagery, and seems wanting to fan into flame this spirit of fighting and fighting for our country and fighting to take our country back for God and all this sort of stuff. And it's like lathering Christians up into this spirit of hostility and passion and fighting. And when I look through, again, the New Testament and some of the things that we've talked about over the last handful of weeks on this series of podcasts, that's not our way. You don't even see that in the New Testament. You don't see that with the actual exiles in Babylon. You see them living humbly and faithfully and prayerfully. And when they have an opportunity to use their influence for God's name's sake, they use their influence in clear ways for that. But they're not out there fighting, and they're not lathering people up into a, you know, all worked up into a mob that's going to fight for what they feel like is what's best. This is some of my concerns with, for example, this movie based on the book by Eric Metaxas called Letter to an American Church. I'm actually producing a review of that for Renew.org. I've watched the movie, written a review, and my concern with it is, I think in some ways he's got some legitimate concerns, and there's some things in that movie that are helpful, as well as his book, things that are helpful. And yet the tone and the imagery of that movie is all aimed at stoking the fires of fear so that we will basically become a mob to fight for what we feel like is what America is supposed to be. The biblical approach to dealing with these sorts of things is to live as missionaries, that our job is to disciple in our churches, to disciple people to think deeply and wisely and well about the critical issues that are plaguing our country, rather than just be driven by emotion, and to figure out to disciple people into how they can use their influence for good wherever they have influence, and to look at being missionaries to their culture and to their society. So what if we poured our energy more into that rather than whipping up a mob who is afraid and fearful and therefore energetic and emotional about the issues? What if we discipled our people well into being good missionaries to the culture around us? And then my final reflection on this is, and this is something I need to do better at myself, is to pray for our nation. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and following, the Apostle Paul urges us to lift up holy hands and to pray for our nation, to do so with gratitude, to thank God that we have rulers to keep order in our nation, to do so for all men, especially for those who are in power, and to make this a regular part of our individual praying, but also our group praying as Christians, that we pray for our leaders. We pray for righteousness and justice. We pray for wisdom. We pray for God to intervene. And it's an area that I keep being challenged on of late and realize, man, I need to do better at that. I need to pray more for our nation. And so those are my final four reflections on this little series of politics and our faith. And it's, I think, worth us giving good energy to and thinking these things through. And Lord willing, in the next 4 or 5 weeks, there will be a book, this book that I helped co-author that was sort of the genesis for this series. There's a ton more stuff in that book. And the book's really looking like almost workbookish. It's an interactive guide to help us think through the issues, to help us think through how we want to communicate those issues, as well as to kind of provide a framework for how we should think about ourselves as followers of Jesus living in exile, as Peter calls us, that we are exiles and foreigners right in our current country. So how do we embody the kingdom of God wisely and well where we live? So be looking for that in the next month or so. If you're not a part of my mailing list, you can swing over to johnwhitaker.net. You can sign up for that free ebook there. That'll put you on my mailing list, and I will announce when that book is available in the next month or so when it's out and ready for you to purchase if you're interested in that. My hope is in all of this that more than anything else, we would embody the kingdom in word and in deed in the way we engage with the political process in our country. We may not always see eye to eye even with our fellow Christians, but how can we love one another and love our neighbors well in such a way that we embody the kingdom and point people towards a greater citizenship and a greater kingdom than the kingdom of the United States of America or the kingdom of whatever country you're living? How can we point them towards the kingdom of God and draw people into that? That's our heart. That's our goal as followers of Jesus. All right. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Bible in Life podcast. The Bible in Life is made possible by the generous support of a number of people all around the world. So to each and every one of you who support this ministry and the ministry of the Listener's Commentary, may God bless you for your generous support and your faithful prayers. And if you've been impacted by the Bible in Life, the Listener's Commentary, or any of my online resources, would you prayerfully consider joining the team of supporters so that this ministry can continue to grow and expand and reach more people and continue to have an impact for the name of Jesus? God bless you guys. I look forward to talking with you again next week.